When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you are ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
The 49ers are looking for a third team to facilitate a trade of Brandon Ayuk to the Pittsburgh Steelers. The coach and I will talk about that next on the coach's meeting. Good afternoon. That's the coach. I'm Grant Cohn. This is coach's meeting. We have breaking news every day this week. The trade has happened, but it's not happened yet. But there's news. The news is that the Niners and the Steelers sort of are working to find a third team to facilitate this. The Steelers apparently are offering picks, no players, no first round pick. So probably a second, third, four, and maybe one more pick for Ayuk and maybe a pick. That's what we're looking at. And the Niners want a player. So they're looking for a third team. We're going to discuss who that player could be. But first, I have a question for the audience and a question for Coach. Before we get into speculation, let's get it into a different type of speculation. Why does Brandon Ayuk want to go to the Steelers so bad? We know that the Patriots offered him $32 million a year, and he turned him down. He doesn't want to go there. He seems to kind of want off the 49ers as well, unless they pay him a lot of money. He wanted to go to Washington. His friend is the quarterback there. Why do you think Pittsburgh's so attractive to him?
Simply put, Mike Tomlin. He respects the man. I think that in a lot of ways, Mike Tomlin and Kyle Shanahan's careers are congruent. You look at Mike Tomlin being Kyle Shanahan. Let's just go with Kyle Shanahan being one of the youngest coaches to be a head coach in the National Football League, who actually found early success as a coordinator. And one of the earliest wonderkins in the NFL was Mike Tomlin getting hired early on with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You also look at both of them at by trade. Mike Tomlin was a wide receiver. I know he's known for being a defensive guy, but people don't know that Mike Tomlin played wide receiver in college. Another thing is that the one thing that Kyle is known to do is kill the regular season. There's nobody that's been more consistent in making sure that you have a good regular season than Mike Tomlin. And also, you have to look at just how Mike Tomlin actually started his career, where he started young and he actually sealed the deal. He has a Super Bowl. So he wants to be able to be ingratiated with the Super Bowl winning coach. And then lastly, you have to look at the bedside manner, just the actual guy, the man. Mike Tomlin is known to be a straight talker. There is no fluff. And he seems to always know how to ingratiate himself with the players that are around him, but from a man standpoint, and gets the best out of them. I think that he just feels as though that he gets a little bit of smoke and mirrors on this side, and he wants more of a succinct relationship with Mike Tomlin.
Doesn't it feel like the relationship between Kyle and Ayuk has been strained since the beginning? Like they're just kind of like oil and water. I don't know. Maybe they're just not compatible the way Debo and Kyle are, but it seems like Ayuk was super compatible in college with Herm Edwards. And mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a connection between Herm Edwards and Mike Tomlin, but maybe Ayuk sees them as similar styles of leaders.
Well, one thing that I can tell you is that with Coach Tomlin, you know, he's gonna actually push Brandon from a standpoint where, you know what, Grant, I got to be honest, man. Here it is. There's a trust between a pupil and a coach, okay? And in that trust, you as a pupil, there are times where you test your coach, where it's like, look, man, if you're going to tell me to do X, Y, Z, then you need to reward me for that because that's what you told me to do. And I feel like there are a lot of times where Kyle probably leveled with Brandon and said, look, my man, if you buy in, if you block, if you do exactly what I'm telling you to do, if you understand this doghouse process, then you know what? There's going to be something for you on the other side of this. And I think Brandon has looked at his maturation process with the 49ers and congruently looked at other guys like a Debo or a George or a Fred or a Dre and said to himself, like, I didn't have to go through. I went through way more than these guys had to go through in order to make myself a household name on this team. And now when it's time to finally actually get paid, I think that Brandon is, I don't think he's one of the first people to notice this, but I think Brandon is one of the first people to out it. It's not Parag. This is like Kyle really is final say. Well, we always are strapped off with Parag because once the money happens, then there's this, you know, we go behind this cloud and, you know, this door gets shut and John has nothing to do with it. Kyle has nothing to do with it. I think that this process has kind of outed that to be complete BS. It's always been Kyle. And he knows that.
And you think of Kyle, or maybe some people think of Kyle as a player's coach, but I think the players who really love him are the players he's gotten rich, and that's not every player. And there's a large group of players who maybe aren't, and who maybe don't think Kyle's a player's coach. Jimmy Ward, Brandon Ayuk, Trey Lance, got a lot of guys. And then they end up going to teams, if they have a choice, who have a real player's coach, D'Amico Ryans, Mike Tomlin. Interesting thing to note. But let's get to the speculation of the day. The Niners looking for a third team to get in this deal. They want a wide receiver, ideally. Because if Ayuk leaves and they don't have someone to replace him, fans will freak out. And they're trying to win a Super Bowl. So let's go back to the Raiders. There was some speculation that the Raiders might have been interested in Ayuk. And it seems like Davante Adams isn't extremely happy with the way things are going in Las Vegas. How realistic do you think it is that the Niners could get a pick from Pittsburgh, a second round pick? Would that be enough to get the Raiders to give up their best player, second best player?
Absolutely not. I mean, right now, it wouldn't even be a get for the Niners, honestly. He's 31 years old. The entire offense would completely have to shift to being able to accentuate what he does, i.e. Davante Adams is not blocking. He's not going down the field and running off players so Ricky Pearsall and Debo can get all of their in-breaking routes and George can run underneath. On top of the fact that Davante Adams himself is due to get paid. So we already are facing that situation. So even if we moved on from DA, you have to understand that if we picked up Davante Adams, it would literally be a all-in right now situation, and we would have to win the Super Bowl for this to be viable, because we will be right back in the same situation where we'd have to pay another receiver who wants to get paid, who understands his worth. And then on top of it, it's not going to be a 26-year-old guy who we drafted, who we have tons of equity with. It's going to be a merc, a hired gun, who the rest of the league is going to be able to say, hey, Davante, we'll pay you. So we'll be right back in up Schitt's Creek without a paddle, but in a worse situation if we got him. Davante Adams is not a viable option. No. And
why are we speculating about this? Because Ayuk's agent, who's Lynch's agent, was at the Raiders practice yesterday, and it's like, oh, well, is he trying to convince the Raiders? Okay, it seems like if you were going to try to convince the Raiders to trade Davante Adams to the Raiders, to the Niners, they wouldn't want a second round pick. They'd want Ayuk. And if they don't even want Ayuk, then I don't think you're going to get anywhere with the Raiders and Davante Adams. I don't think the Niners are going to get that lucky and come out of here looking like the big winner. So let's look at a more realistic trade target for the 49ers, a wide receiver they could get from a team as a part of a three-team trade. Same division, AFC West, Denver Broncos, Cortland Sutton. Do you think the 49ers could convince the Broncos to trade them Cortland Sutton for third-round pick?
I like this. All right, so we might as well start thinking about life after BA if this is the conversation. I mean, you know, and it was only a shrewd businessman would pay attention to all possibilities. Right now, I'm under the belief that, you know, the 11th hour effect can still happen. I really want BA and the Niners to figure out if they could get something done. That's where I'm at right now. So, you know, you can't never say never. The deal ain't done. I'm hoping they can get it done. But if we were to get a guy, I mean, Cortland Sutton is 28 years old. He's only 2 years older than BA, all right? And he hasn't necessarily been featured in an offense. He's kind of always been these afterthought on a running football team, right, where he's been singled out and he knows the entire route tree. He's been used as kind of like the de facto do-it-all, jack-of-all-trades receiver in Denver before. And to be honest with you, I just think that pound for pound, I like Cortland Sutton as an athlete. I don't think he necessarily is as smooth or has the tactician as a tactician of a route runner as BA, but at 6'4", 215, same speed, 4'5", he actually replicates that speed on the field. He's a big-time target, wants the ball deep, pause, always wants to be able to get into the best moments of the offense, and he'd be a guy where I feel like being on an offense where it's always predicated on being able to get the best look at all times, I think Cortland Sutton would sign in this offense. Now, does that mean that it's one for one going to be better than BA or at least going to be replicated like BA? No. Cortland Sutton hasn't put together years like BA has. Again, you know, he's not that old. He's only 28.
He hasn't played with Brock Purdy, though.
He hasn't. All right. He has played with Brock Purdy. But he. But one thing that I do like about Cortland Sutton is that he's game. I think that he would do better in our offense, and he's way better than Robbie Robinson, whatever the guy we got. Just
Robbie the chosen one.
Robbie, he's Jewish. Chosen Rosen.
He's chosen. Yes. He's Jewish. You know that?
Yeah, he is. He's converted. L'chaim.
All right, let me make the case for Cortland Sutton. I almost look. He would cost the Niners like $13 million, so he's right in Brandon Ayuk's price range. I do think you could get him for a third round pick, and dare I say he'd be an even better fit than Ayuk? Let me make the case, okay? He's had consistent production his entire career. You can give him 120 targets a season. He can handle that. He had 10 touchdowns last year playing with, you know, freaking Russell Wilson. I mean,
yo, man, he was playing with the Bad News Bears, baby.
And what's nice about him is, like, he's got Ayuk speed. Maybe he's not quite the downfield threat that Ayuk is. But you don't. Ayuk's downfield ability is largely wasted on this team, not just because of Brock, but because of the system. So now you swap out Ayuk for a guy who's 6'3 and a half. That's perfect for Brock. He needs more wide receivers who are 6'3 and a half.
Targets. Yeah.
But he moves like a younger guy, but he plays big. He plays big at the catch point. I think it's a great fit.
And to be honest, Iggy, it hits in a situation where the skill set, I mean, like his role almost kind of fits, because if you think about it, in Denver, he's really the number one, but he's not featured like a number one, right? But he gets all of the hard routes, right? Where Jerry Jeudy gets to run around and not get open, but he's the guy that gets all of the clear out stuff, the deep third routes, and it would almost work where he would get here, and actually, I think it would be a breath of fresh air for him not to have to be the featured guy all the time. Playing on an offense like this, I think Cortland Sutton would actually be a good fit. I mean, that's if we had to do it and we had to get a player that I didn't feel bad about paying, I wouldn't feel bad about Cortland Sutton.
Another thing that's in Cortland Sutton's favor, like what's nice about this potential deal, he signed through 2025 at this current rate. So you can have him, Jennings, and Debo for two more years. Because they'll extend Brock next year, most likely, but he won't become really expensive against the cap until 2026. So you'll have three good starting caliber wide receivers, vets on your team for two more years at a reasonable price. Debo's not reasonable, but at least you can fit it in. And then once Brock is really like counting $60 million against the cap, then Ricky Pearsall, it's his time, it's Jacob Cowing's time, and you go with young guys who are cheap. But yeah, guy seems to fit in every single way, in ways that Brandon doesn't.
I mean, I like it. The only thing that I would have to say is that, and then also, you know how it is. When guys get here, they feel the culture. They, not only the culture, but they just feel the eyes. They know that wherever they came from, this is a bigger stage, right? It doesn't really get any bigger than playing with the 49ers, unless you're playing with like the requisite teams that are as good as we are. So you're going to get him on his best behavior. He's going to get into the locker room and understand the culture right away. I just would have to see what Courtland Sutton gives us in terms of blocking. That's something that I feel like is God-gifted. You know, everybody can block, but everybody doesn't want to. So that'd be something that I'd be willing to see. But honestly, if Courtland Sutton came onto this offense right now and gave us just what he gave us last year, I feel like we wouldn't miss a beat.
Yeah.
I love BA, but I feel like we wouldn't miss a beat. You gotta keep it tall.
I agree. Okay. I got one more potential wide receiver they could trade for. We haven't discussed this guy yet. Total wild card, but he's worth discussing. Because I saw his name pop up in the chat. People want to know. T. Higgins. On his last year of a deal, I mean, a lot like Brandon Ayuk, wants an extension, hasn't gotten the extension, playing out his, not the fifth year option, got franchise tagged, and he's scheduled to make almost $22 million this year. Expensive player on the last year of his deal. What do you think about trading for a T. Higgins rental?
No. Thing about T. Higgins is that I feel like T. Higgins is more of in the BA, on the BA side of things. The NFL stands for not for long. So you have to understand that there are certain phases in career in players' careers that are very fleeting. They're very small, right? We're talking 1 to 3 years. And I do think that gap of T. Higgins being 25 versus Courtland Sutton being 28, there's a self-awareness with T. Higgins and BA where they understand that whatever deal that they take, however they get negotiated to the NFL fiscally, is really pretty much going to be how they're seen. That's their brand. T. Higgins has been a guy where you could say if he was on another team with less talent, he's their number one. He just, you know, had the unfortunate, you know, luck of being able to play with Chase, you know, Jamar Chase, who is one of the top two, if number one receivers in the league. I think that T. Higgins is a guy who the reason why he's holding out is kind of on the same in the same ilk of BA as I want to be a number one. I'm not coming somewhere to ingratiate myself. I'm coming somewhere to be the lead dog. I've already had my fill of sitting behind and kind of being a piece. And I just think that it would be a little bit too much of a stretch to ask him to come into the same type of role that, you know, BA is leaving him.
Yeah, Bill Blinker reminds me that he can't even sign an extension this year. The deadline's passed. He has to play on his franchise tag. So you'd be trading for a guy on a one-year rental, hoping you could re-sign him next year, which means you have to keep him happy, which means you have to – it's like the Brandon Ayuk situation all over
again. All over again.
And what's funny is, like, I felt that Amari Cooper would have been in the same boat. Like, once he gets here, he's not going to like his role on this team, just the way Ayuk doesn't like his role. And I think coming back to Courtland Sutton, I think he'd be perfectly fine with this role.
I think it will work. I think he would be perfectly fine. He already knows what it's like to be scapegoated as the number one on a bad team, right? So I think that him coming here would be a breath of fresh air where he would finally be able to get the eyes that he wants, get the recognition that he wants, be able to be ingratiated on a good team and be able to step back and still get the looks that he needs, because he will be exclusively getting those reps, right? Nobody else can really run the full route tree here at an elite level. So he would already get that, and he'd be winning. I think he'd be happy. Winning changes a lot for players that are disgruntled, who've been losing for a long time. The NFL is way too competitive of a league to get your teeth kicked in and week out. I think he would like it.
Let me give you one more thing in Sutton's favor. A big thing with the Niners, it's not just how you play as a receiver. It's, can you learn the system? Do you know the system?
Right.
He played for Rich Gangarello in 2019 in Denver. So he's been exposed to the terminology and the system, which would help speed the process along, because we're already 2 weeks into training camp and season starts in about a month. So A lot of reasons. I also feel like the Niners like Sutton coming out of he came out in 18. Mm-hmm. I think that I wouldn't have been surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if the Niners were targeting him. He got picked and then they drafted Dante Pettis. So, you know, go back and write that wrong.
Yeah. I mean, and that's another thing. Like, I think also we'd be able to afford Cam. You think about the money that he's been getting paid, man. You just go to Sport Track and look up Cam Sutton's money, man. I think he's like averaging maybe 20 a year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know,
but what's great about him is that, like, for the Niners, he'd only be 13 because his 17.2 cap number has, you know, prorated signing bonus, which is freaking Denver's problem. All the Niners have to worry about is the base salary, which is $13 million this year and 13.5 next year. That's cheaper than IU.
Yeah, man. I just a bigger platform of an athlete, honestly. Like, yep. One of the things that we like about BA is that people don't understand. BA is not a big receiver. The thing that makes him so special is that he's got a ridiculous wingspan. You get that in Cortland Sutton, with that 6'4 frame.
All right, let's do some sleeper picks because we got NFL picks. We're ready. First game of the season, Baltimore, Kansas City, Thursday Night Football, September 5th. Yo, September 8th is opening day. So we're a month away, but let's do Baltimore, Kansas City. Derrick Henry, 71.5 rushing yards. What do you think he's going to do against Chris Jones and the Kansas City Chiefs, more or less?
Less.
Well, give me a reason. You got to explain. You got to show your work.
All right. The reason why is that is this a preseason game, right?
No.
Oh, no.
This is week one.
More. Sorry.
Okay. Why? Yeah.
Well, definitely they're going to be able to bring out their shiny new run game. They got to be able to see what they're going to do with that offensive line. I think that they're going to be a much healthier team. And on top of it, I feel like Baltimore is going to try. This is going to be the year where they take things off Lamar's plate. I think that this year they're going to try to really slow things down and then let him kind of turn on the magic in the later parts of the game. They're going to try to Patrick Mahomes it. I think they are because they put way too much on Lamar, especially in the running element. So I think they want to be able to sustain themselves first, establish themselves rather.
I agree. I feel like the Eagles and the Ravens are similar this year in that both realized, you know, we have these super dynamic quarterbacks, but we're asking them to do way too much. Imagine how good they'd be if they actually had a running back instead of having to be their own running back.
He's a running back. Saquon
Barkley and Derrick Henry. I'm with you on that. More. Let's go to Lamar himself. 232.5 passing yards against one of the best defenses in the league. No more L'Jarius Sneed, though. 232.5 for Lamar. What do you think?
I think less.
Less.
Also, one of the things is that the Ravens, sometimes they die on their own sword. They die on their shield, man. Is that style? I think they're going to start realizing that style points don't matter. Winning a game is winning a game. One of the biggest things about them is that they do phenomenal in blowing people out throughout the entire season. But when it comes time to actually show and prove in their tougher games, particularly in the postseason, I think that's where they start seeing that they're running out of juice. And also, I think that they need to also realize that being a physical team can be your calling, can be your culture, but it doesn't have to be your calling card. They need to start learning how to win games healthier as well. You know, you're going to start seeing a lot of like low scoring games and leaning on that defense too, because that's really the star of that team, their defense.
Absolutely. Travis Kelce, 72.5 receiving yards week one. Will he be in football shape or is he going to be in Travis Taylor Swift shape?
It's the Swiftie effect, man. He's going to be in shape. He's going to do better than that. I think he's going to get more.
Thursday night football. He's going to be ready.
Thursday night football.
Okay. Let's get one more. I want to find Philly if they play. I think they would play week one, but they don't have him. So let's do the Rams. We could do the Rams or the Lions. What do you want to do? Goff, Stafford?
Lions.
259.5 passing yards for Goff against... Oh, I'm going more on that. Name two players on the Rams defense.
Taylor Rapp and...
Taylor Rapp isn't on that team anymore.
He isn't?
No. Name one player on the Rams defense.
Name one player
on the Rams. Name one player on the Rams defense.
The rookie Fisker, whatever the hell, the D tackle from Florida State that they just picked up. That guy.
You almost got one of his names.
Yeah.
Hey, that's better than I could do. I'm not even trying to flex on you. Like, that defense has nothing. Hard to pick the Rams. They got
everybody. So I want to know who's going to be honest in the chat and say that in their mind, they immediately said Jalen Ramsey, but didn't realize he wasn't with the Rams anymore. That's what I want to know. I want to know who's going to be a real one in the chat and say, in my mind, I thought Jalen Ramsey right away, but I realized he's not there.
All right, those are my picks. I'm going to flex them, submit the entry. You want to play, use promo code CONE, C-O-H-N, and get a deposit match up to $100 on your first deposit. That means if you deposit 50, they deposit 50, and boom, it's 100 bucks. Just like that.
Sports has always brought people together.
We watch it together. We debate it together.
There's no coming back from 28-3.
Talk about it together.
Yo, dude,
need to drop a new video.
All that comes together in Sleeper, the only sports app I use. It has everything: community, live scores, blazing fast news, and fantasy leagues. So you can enjoy sports the way we always have. Together.
Hey, I got a bonus topic. I want to go back to the Brandon Ayuk, why he wants the Steelers. I want to talk about why the Steelers want Ayuk. Because the Steelers generally don't trade for wide receivers, they draft and develop. But they're draft and develop. I mean, like, can we go back? Like, George Pickens doesn't block. Deontay Johnson just got ran out of town, was a malcontent. Same with Chase Claypool, who was supposed to be this great young player, didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And now you got Brandon Ayuk, who is portrayed as a malcontent here. But on the Steelers, he'd be the most professional, the hardest working, the best blocker. He would be the example.
He would be. Look, this is one thing that I see happening right now. The Steelers want this to happen because in their mind, Brandon Ayuk is a Steeler. He's the real deal. He's a guy that doesn't care about the fanfare. He wants his reps. He's going to come in. Come on, man. We already heard about B.A. This is when Debo was wilding. Brandon was coming first one here, last one out. All right, this is before D'Amador Lenore was a household name or even like an up-and-coming player. Like, Brandon Ayuk, put him under his wing, man. Like, Brandon Ayuk has basically came through the hardest way you can to be a star on this offense, on this team, really. And I think that he's ready to ascend and assert himself. And I think that his role here with the Niners, they better expand his role. That's the biggest thing. Like, this is what it's really all about. It's about expanding his role. Like, he
not
wants,
just about that, though. It's about respect.
I mean, yes, we're talking about this.
Because respect is so much more than that, though, right? Like on the Niners, they look at him as like an immature problem child. Like, dude, you just don't get it. You think it's all about you. You're replaceable. We made you. You're not Debo. Like, on the Steelers, are like, man, Brandon, can you come set the culture for us?
Yeah.
Can you come be the grown-up here for us? Like, that's a whole different level of respect.
How about this, Grant? Can you imagine the difference in conversations? And we know this has happened. Let's stop. Can you imagine the difference in conversations of how Mike Tomlin is talking to Brandon versus how Kyle is talking to Brandon and what he's noticing? Like, bro,
what's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You're like, dude, the only way I will stay here is for the money. Like, I've been exposed to a whole different brand of coach. And not only that, though, but Brandon came from Herm Edwards.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm telling you, Kyle and Brandon are oil and water. They're not compatible. They're divorced.
What this is?
The paperwork has
been signed. We've seen this. You know where we saw this? Jimmy Ward and Kyle. We've seen this. Where it was like
Jimmy was just a little bit older and a little bit more didn't have as much juice as Brandon. Brandon's not being as diplomatic.
Yeah, and we saw where Jimmy wasn't buying Kyle's brand. Like, nope. I'm not buying your brand, bro. Nope. You don't have me fooled.
Yeah. You might have Debo fooled, or maybe Debo's just has you fooled so he can get paid. Fooled.
Exactly.
JM617's been a member for 15 months. Thank you. Amaya says you're officially Nick Wright's favorite reporter. Invite me on the show, Nick. I'm your biggest fan. I'm your biggest fan. King Leonard says, tired of Ike's BS and Steph carried USA today. I wish I had seen that. Lamont 757 says, with or without BA, will that really affect the overall season outcome, which is no Super Bowl? Let's talk Stinger, more reliable than Niners front office. Yeah, the Kia Stinger, hell of a car. I would recommend it. And yeah, this is all taking the focus off of Kyle. Blood Moon says, there are rumors looking at T. Higgins' pipe dream. Yes. As big of a pipe dream as Devontae Adams.
Yes.
She Praise Mike says, how true are reports saying SF are slightly increasing BA contract offer? Haven't heard that. You gotta show me that one. Reds 215 says, if we get Cortland, wouldn't Justin Roll fade out?
Juice's role. Juicing.
Oh, well, they don't use him anyway. They just use him in training camp when they want to remind people that he exists.
What ifs?
What up, fellas? Keep up the good work, says Silky Smooth Scissors. Smithers, thank you. Casey Cole, they're looking for a wide receiver in a three-way trade when they drafted two in the draft and have an all-pro wide receiver they don't want on the roster. Please make it make sense. Yeah, okay, let's go right there.
You're going right into our topic.
Right there. So the Niners are like adamant. They need a wide receiver. What does that say about how they feel about Ricky Pearsall's readiness?
I ain't buying it. They are saying like they made a mess. There is a cleanup on aisle four. They have made a blunder. All right. And the fact that you, first of all, let's talk about it. This ain't quarterback. Okay. This ain't quarterback. This is wide receiver. All right. Why I look at wide receiver the same way I look at running back. Either you got one or you don't. There ain't no warm-up rookie red shirt season to no receiver, right? Like, either you are the goods, if you got drafted in the first round, either you're the goods or you ain't. And even if the kid is nicked up and he's not finding his way to the field, I get that. They've seen enough to understand what they have by this point. And you're, put it this way, Ricky Pearsall is supposed to be the contingency plan for Brandon Ayuk. So the fact that they're still looking and kicking the tires on receivers while they're possibly shopping Brandon lets you know that they're not happy with what they've brought in here thus far with the rookies. So right now, and they're doing the same thing with the offensive line. So, like, right now, Ricky Pearsall, and to be fair to Ricky Pearsall, because I don't want to make this a thing where, you know, we do this. We have a tendency to dump on.
Yeah, he's not the new, like, kicking boy at all. That's right. Not the situation. He's not we're just talking about readiness here, not potential or future.
This is not us pinning him to the whipping post. Not at all. I tend to believe that this is going to be incredibly unfair to Ricky Pearsall to have him come in and try to replicate the role that Brandon Ayuk has, if he can, away.
He already hasn't. They won't even let him do one-on-one. So he maybe next year he can, but so far this year he can't do it.
They're protecting him.
Yeah.
They're protecting him already. And I'm going to tell you, bro, like, you got to play at some point. This is the thing about the Niners that makes me, that is like so funny to me, is that most teams, they almost get it. It's like, why don't we just open up and just be truthful about what's happening now? Because week one's going to happen anyway. It's like the Niners go through all of this stuff of like not going through one-on-ones, sitting the guy, not making sure that he's seen in certain areas of practice. You go through all of that. And for what? He's going to have to play anyway. Week one's coming, whether you can hide him or not. So look, I wish him the best. I think that he is a talented kid. I think he's going to be able to come in and do great things for, you know, what is given to him. But he will struggle. He's going to struggle.
I just can't help but notice that, like, Kyle can be very rash with his opinions. He will write off someone he drafted in the first round very quickly. He did it with Trey Lance. We none of us really thought that he would do it. It's like, dude, you spent 3 first-round picks on him. You're going to be open-minded, right? You're gonna be open-minded, right? Kyle's like, no, I've seen him practice 3 times. He's trash.
When his reputation is on the other side of those decisions, he will always pick himself. Yeah. Trey taught us that. He will always like when
so
we
if truly... Pearsall's in a position where he might make him look bad, like he's not gonna let Ricky Pearsall Dante Pettis him.
Mm-mm. When you know we got what I mean? The postmortem of Trey, when we got that postmortem and finally found out how fast he was out on Trey, nobody. If he could be out on the number 3 overall pick literally that fast, nobody stands a chance.
He gave Dante Pettis a chance for like a year. I remember at one point he said that Dante Pettis could be the best player on the team. That was a direct quote. Could be the best player on the team. So I think ever since he got burned by Dante, he's like, you know what, dude, I'm just trusting my gut on this one. I'm not wishing into existence anything on for young players, and maybe that's just trauma on his part speaking. But Ricky... have a talk with Kyle, find out where you stand. Okay, I got a bigger picture question. The Niners are so intent on bringing back a wide receiver, getting a third team in a trade. Now, it's been reported that they don't have to have a wide receiver back. They'd prefer one. We just explained because Pearsall really hasn't done much this offseason. Do you think they need a wide receiver? Like, or is this Kyle Shanahan being sort of like addicted to wide receivers?
I think that there's, you know, we're going to get into this. We talked about this before, Grant, but this is recipe versus diet.
Yeah.
Again.
The pantry is stocked full of wide receivers, Kyle.
But it's all about
finish the wide receivers that you have.
Thank you. It's not about diet. It's about recipe. And this is where you get hurt. Yeah. This is why they're going out. It's not the fact that the Niners need receivers. They need a specific receiver. They need a recipe. They need an ingredient. And this is why your ass gets caught up when you out here thinking you can cook and all you know how to do is cook a meal. Mm-hmm. You don't know how to really cook. And that's the problem. The Niners always, and Kyle, always go for recipe.
Yeah.
I need the guy that can run the full route tree. Then I need the slash halfback slash receiver in Debo. Then I need the scat back. Then I need the undersized.
I need a half a pound of dried porcini mushrooms specifically.
Yes, specifically. And this is what happens where.
And if I don't have the porcinis, I can't freaking do it. Sorry.
When we look at it as fans, what happens as fans when we say to ourselves about logic, why don't we draft these offensive linemen in the most offensive line laden draft in 20 years? Why are we going to get these guys? And what happens? Everybody who drinks the Kool-Aid and wants to be right all the time is, what are you talking about? We always draft linemen later in the offseason. It's clearly not what the Niners do. And what happens? The shit bites us in the ass time after time. And what we have to do is go out and find recipes where if you drafted for your diet, if you actually got out and went and got the best guys because you believe in your scheme. It's whole. It's sound. All right? 10 seconds, Grant.
No, go ahead.
It's sound from a standpoint of it's not the fact that a Donnie Mitchell or Keon Coleman or Leggett don't fit into our perfect little scheme. It's the fact that, man, this guy's an athlete. We're the professionals. We can make it work with him. We'll get it. The Niners don't do that. And this is what happens when you lose pieces. You can't just go out and go get something for your diet. You got to go get a specific ingredient, and that kills us in trade negotiations because teams know exactly what we need.
Let me ask you a question. Niners' number three wide receiver, Juwan Jennings, I feel like he could be a number two, but I'm not trying to lead you in that direction. I just want to ask you a question. Who is a better player right now, Juwan Jennings or Colton Kibitz?
Juwan Jennings.
Okay, I got another question for you. I agree. Who's a better player right now, Juwan Jennings or Jake Brendel?
Juwan Jennings.
I agree. So they're so busy trying to find a number two receiver. Cortland Sutton would be great. But they need an offensive lineman. They need a right tackle. They need a center. Why are you so fixated on wide receiver, man? It's an obsession. I get that you played the position, but you have good ones. Juwan Jennings is legitimately a good number two wide receiver. Debo's making a ton of freaking money. You just drafted Ricky Pearsall. You can't write him off. He's practiced like six times. You can't write him off. Ronnie Bell's playing well.
This just hit me. You know why? Kyle's legacy to this offense and this scheme is the passing game. Huh. It's not the running game. Alex Gibbs, Bobby Turner, his father, they're the ones who put together the run game.
Right.
That's the that's the actual part of this scheme that's genius.
Yeah.
That's the part of this scheme that everybody copies.
Yeah.
The reason why you see Kyle put all of this pressure and money and attention into the skill guys is because the only thing that Kyle has done to this offense to revolutionize it has been the pass game. But the pass game is the first thing that every coach that adopts this scheme, that's the first thing that they throw out of the window. The Rams take our running game. They throw the pass game out of the window. The Packers, they take our scheme. What do? They run like us. They throw the pass game out of the window. Mike McDaniel took our whole running scheme, even added to it before he left. What do they do with the pass game? Throw it out of the window. The Jets took our entire run game. What do? They take Kyle's shit. They throw it out of the window. Minnesota, same thing. They took the run game. Took the pass game and tossed that shit to the side. Kyle, the only thing that Kyle has to this offense is what he is ingratiating himself with, him being a receiver and him knowing how to do the pass game. What's the only thing that Kyle, who's the number one protagonist of the offense every year, year in and year out, for years? The quarterback. Kyle has the hardest times even getting a quarterback. We haven't even found out if Kyle knows how to develop the quarterback that he wants to run his offense. But every professional, when his offense is peer-reviewed across every professional coach in the NFL who takes his offense, why is the common denominator that all of these coaches, the first thing they get rid of when they take over this offense is the passing game? They get rid of it. They throw it out of the window. And the number one thing that we have an issue with is a receiver who knows he's a number one, who has outplayed his coaching. Brandon Ayuk knows that he's a better receiver than how Kyle can coach him to be in this offense. And that's the problem. That's the problem. True.
Michael says, Coach Grant, can't believe we're not even throwing in Juju as a replacement. One thing he brings to the table is his blocking capabilities, his Cortland Sutton block. He's often injured. Juju Smith-Schuster? He's a slot guy like Juwan. I think that would be kind of redundant. Lamont says Kyle be over whooping on mamas. On mamas. Doesn't know what he's talking. He's not from the West Coast.
Over-whooping. That's some Chicago whooping. Stuff. Whooping.
Over whooping.
Yeah.
Lamont says, in your opinion, who banged the table for Ricky? Kyle.
Kyle.
Senor Shanahan. Mike drops with Monza says, week one versus Jets, press man for four quarters. Can't wait. Robert Sala's not messing around. David Baker says, this analogy is perfect for a life lesson. Yes. Diet versus recipe. Speaking of recipe, did you like my pasta sauce?
All right, so let's talk about it. I sent you a super chat. I need the recipe. You're going to give it to me after the show.
I will.
Especially, listen, so let me just, give me 30 seconds. I know we're on a time crunch. I went over Grant's house last week?
Yeah.
Last week on a Thursday, and first of all, Grant has a beautiful family, hosted us, and cooked his mother's pasta sauce with, what was that, rigatoni, or was that ziti?
It was penne.
Penne.
I didn't have any rigatoni. I'm a big rigatoni guy.
Yeah, and it was penne. And dude, the meat sauce, dog, so good. We must have crushed like 6 bottles of wine, 2 pints of ice cream. It was a very, very good day, man. I'm going to tell you. Yeah, we broke the diet that day. We broke the diet. It was a great time. It was a great time.
Glad you like it. 808 Niner says, WTF, I thought Kyle was a genius. He's supposed to be able to make these pieces work no matter their skill set. But hey, what do we know about genius? So snarky. David Spread My Sheets Lombardi says, hey, I hear Niners and Steelers is all but done deal, but the Niners are seeking a third team to find a bridge wide receiver until Pearsall's ready. The Niners are risking Steelers doing what the Patriots did. I'll be making a F around and find out chart. Thank you. F around and find out. Yaakov says, the coach, you nailed it. Kyle is trash as a head coach. We may never win a Super Bowl with Kyle, all caps. You hear that,
it's
Kyle?
That pass game. It's putrid, bro. Telling you. And you get with some dogs who know how to play with it, it
now, grumbles. The play action game is nice, but the drop back game is not. Okay, last topic. I floated this yesterday. I don't know. I don't have any information, but I'd like to know your opinion. I feel like this will be Trent Williams might be threatening retirement right now if he doesn't get what he wants. But if he does and the Niners give him a big raise this year and make him the highest paid offensive lineman in the league once again, which he probably wants, I think that'll be it. I think this is it. He's 36. He's been all pro 3 years in a row. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Some people feel like, you know, he's got one thing left to accomplish, win a Super Bowl. I feel like he's accomplished everything he wants to accomplish. And now he's looking for a golden parachute, which is one more payday. I'm very cynical, though. What do you think of my prediction?
I agree. And I don't like agreeing with this, but I do. Am I choppy right now?
A little bit. You'll come back.
All right. But what kind of worries me about this is that Trent doesn't strike me as someone who You know, and I said this to you post show, so I'm going to say this because I think it's going to like dip me into like where I need to be. So pre-show, I said that Trent's not going to be one of those guys who loses 120 pounds after he retires. I don't believe that, right? And I think the reason why is he's a different kind of player. If Trent was truly in shape, Trent would be a tight end, or he'd probably be a edge rusher, right? It just so happens that Trent is a remarkably gifted athlete at 340 pounds, 320 pounds. Like he's a remarkably gifted athlete. And because of that, I don't think that Trent's longevity is due to the technique or the professionalism of his game. I think that Trent has been able to last this long is because, number one, like we said, he has a remarkable skill set. People do not understand how physically gifted Trent is. I've seen Trent play pickup basketball, and you know, this is when he was with the now Commanders, but then the Washington Redskins. I've watched Trent play five on five court basketball and like lead the break and dunk. Like I've seen that with my own eyes with ease. Like I've seen Trent beat Adrian Peterson on ladder drills. That's one of the greatest running backs to ever play this game. I've seen Trent beat him on cone drills. Like you guys don't understand that the reason why I feel like I can speak from this perspective is that because I was actually around in 2010 when Trent got drafted with the Washington Redskins as a intern with the Redskins at the time through a Black College Coaching Initiative. So I was there when Trent Williams got drafted. Trent was one of the most athletically gifted athletes, like forget linemen, just athletes that I've ever seen. On top of the fact that we can go through all of those things that I've talked about, he had a break. Trent got sick. He had to handle an infirmity, and that he put years on his body as a big man. He doesn't have that wear and tear. I'll tell you right now, Trent, he's looking for a payday. I think, Grant, I'll steal your analogy. We've talked about this ad nauseum, but this is a golden parachute. When you've come to a certain point in your career where you have a team by the short and curlies, for lack of a better term, and you know that they live high off the hog, a team's tab, basically a business's tab, is floating, right? And it really depends on the stakeholders or the constituency, i.e. fans. All of us in some way are lightweight stakeholders of the 49ers. And the Niners have a high entry to barrier to be able to kind of get their nut, crack their nut every year as far as being profitable. And that's what the Niners are about. And if you're a player like Trent Williams, you understand that you are a major cog to that algorithm, to that fiscal structure of you need a left tackle. Like, you cannot start a season without a left tackle. And I think Trent is exercising pretty much the last stop, Chillax. But he's exercising one of the last moves that he has in his career. And I don't blame him, right? He's going to, you know, left tackles are a high price item right now. He's in a position right now where he could be the next Marcus Peters of the NFL, where he's year to year, right? And it's like, hey, you know, I understand that you guys want me for the team concept, but I'm in the cash, man. I'm in a position of my life right now in my career where I'm not doing camp. You know, most of these, there's no pass rushers out here who could really see me on a consistent basis. And right now I'm ready to be here as a Niner, but I'm officially putting in my 1099 independent contractor status.
Let me ask you a question. Trent's 36. He was first team all pro last year. So he's still at the top of his game, although that Super Bowl was not good. Does he strike you as the kind of player that wants to play it out to the bitter end, even when he's no longer the best?
Yes, because I feel like Trent, let me put it like this. And I'm talking from, like, if you ain't an 80s baby, I hate to do this, but if you're not an 80s baby, stop. I don't even want to hear this conversation from you. But Trent Williams knows that his best in this era of football is pretty much 80% of what he had to do 10 years ago. All right. Trent Williams has been called one of the best offensive linemen in football for about the last 3 to 4 years, when quite frankly, it's just because he comes from a harder era. He came here in 2010. He actually had to play 14 years ago, where he saw real defensive linemen, where quarterbacks weren't protected. And the boy played with Adrian Peterson, got Adrian Peterson one of the best records in college football history in Oklahoma. Trent Williams is coming from one of the last eras of true football. True football.
I agree with you. I just feel like I don't think he's going to really want to stomach it if he's not one of the top offensive tackles in the league. That's a big part of his identity. And that's a big reason why I feel like this is his last season in the league. I do think he's about to start declining. Maybe people won't realize it yet. And instead of him like playing at 39-40 and being like a good offensive tackle because he's Trent Williams, I think he'd like to go out on top, get one more payday, and call it quits after this year.
Let me put it like this. When you think about boxing, Grant, when you need a payday, you need a payday.
Right.
All right. And yeah, I'll tell you this right now. I think Trent is beyond how the fans look at him era of his career. I think Trent understands that where there's money to be made, he's going to make that money. If he's a hustler the way I think he's a hustler, man, you don't give up no hustle just because the bag gets smaller. You bleed that motherfucker till it's dry. So I could see Trent playing for 3, 4, 5 more teams for 1 year deals, as long as they meet and as long as they give him the right bag. I think that's the position that he's in. And if the Niners are willing to pay that bag year after year after year, he'll stay. But maybe. I think he's setting new terms as I feel like higher on a yearly basis.
I feel like Trent has an ego, and he doesn't like practicing. So he likes the idea of being able to go out 80% effort, as you said, no practice, and be top 5, top 3, number 1. Once he can't do that anymore, I wonder how much more patience he'll have for the sport. I mean, he's already made like $170 million. He'd like a little bit more, like another 30, make it to $200 million for call it a career. I don't know. I mean, it just seems like he's like that. I don't like practicing.
Look, man.
I like crawling out of bed and being the best. It's easy for me.
I think that Trent Williams is already a Hall of Famer. He's already a Hall of Famer. So right now, everything is cream. There's nothing that Trent Williams can do as an offensive lineman. He ain't a quarterback. It ain't nothing that Trent Williams can do as an offensive lineman where somebody's going to say, ah, man, he was one of the best. But yeah, the last 5 years, he was a screen door. Like, no way. No, man. I think that he's for hire right now. It's like, all right, you know what? I've kept this charade with you guys long enough. Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. I get it. I've been there, did that, got the t-shirt. Now I'm on the real back end of my career. I'm year to year with it, and I'm open to the highest bidder. And I need to fiscally put myself in a position where you guys are paying me guaranteed money. So if and when I have to move on, my last contract is my best situation. So when I get out here in the open wild and I say I want more money from another contract, I can already look back and say, well, the Niners got me for 1 year out the way guaranteed. So that's the floor of my negotiation conversation. Like, that's the floor.
Marco Bravo says the only way this BA trade makes sense is if they get an O-lineman, actually get better. Here. On that note, let's head out. That's the coach. I'm Grant Cohn. Please subscribe and like to his channel and mine.
New channel named The Coach's Huddle. Wanted to put that out there. No more bang_49. It was way too much. I didn't even say it right this time. The Coach's Huddle at The Coach's Huddle is the channel. You guys could come through and stop by, man.
I love that. Thanks for watching, everyone. I'll be back pretty soon. No practice tomorrow. Preseason debut on Saturday. Huge game, guys. Huge game. Stay tuned.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.